We're going to continue our studies in Matthew today, and I've just been praying for God to be at work in our hearts as we're in this passage today. Throughout the Bible, we find that God is calling to sinful men and sinful women and saying to us, come. In the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve had just sinned, and they're hiding from God in the trees. And then the Lord called to the man and said to him, where are you? And there in the garden, God knew very well where they were. He wasn't seeking information about their location. What this is an invitation, even after their sin, for them to come out into the open and come to God and deal with Him. Isaiah 55, God called out to the sinners amongst His people with these words, ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me, and eat what is good, and delight yourself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me. Listen, that you may live. There's two groups of people here in the room right now that Jesus is inviting this morning to come to Him. There's some of you here today that never personally have entered into a relationship with Jesus Christ. Listen, if that's you, if you don't know Christ personally, listen today to what Jesus says about coming to Him. And then I'm going to invite you at the end of the service to come, to go to Jesus. Others of you this morning, we've already come to Him, and you do know Him personally, and yet, as you come to church this morning, you're burdened down. There's things that are heavy on your heart. And this isn't God's will for you as a Christian. He doesn't want you to be burdened. Jesus invites you to come to Him because He wants to give you rest. Why are you not experiencing His rest, even as a Christian? Is it because you've been looking for rest in other places instead of going straight to the Savior who gives it? I'm going to invite you to today. Go to Jesus, the one who gives us rest. But today we're going to learn three things about that Jesus says about coming to Him. And then my prayer is that in all of our hearts, that's going to be our response. We're going to go to Him from wherever we are. So we should remember where we are in Matthew. Jesus has been presenting Himself to the people of Israel as their long promised king. Most of them, however, as Jesus has been presenting Himself, most of them have rejected Him. He's been at this for over a year. His home base in Galilee is this little town of Capernaum. And how had the people in Capernaum responded to Him after He preached to them for a year? Look at Matthew 11, verse 20. Matthew 11, 20, then Jesus began to denounce the cities in which most of His miracles were done because they did not repent. Then look down at verse 23 when He talks to Capernaum, His home base. Verse 23, and you, Capernaum, will not be exalted to heaven, will you? You will descend to Hades, for if the miracles had occurred in Sodom, which occurred in you, it would have remained to this day. Nevertheless, I say to you that it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for you. See, there's a vast difference between knowing about Jesus and coming to Him personally. The difference between knowing about Jesus and coming to Jesus is the difference between hell and heaven. It's the difference between wrath and rest. These people in Capernaum, they knew about Jesus. He'd been there with them for a year. They'd seen Him do all these miracles, and yet they weren't coming to Him personally in repentance and faith. So three things Jesus will say to us today about coming to Him. First is this, those who go to Jesus for rest must go with the right attitude. Those who are going to go to Jesus for rest must go with the right attitude. The nation as a whole has rejected Jesus. In verse 28, there's going to be an invitation to Jesus. And so here in verses 25 and 26, Jesus stops and he talks with His Father about the varying responses that He's getting. There's some that are refusing Him and some that are receiving Him. And so Jesus stops and He just talks to God about their responses. Look at Matthew 11, verse 25. At that time, Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and intelligent and have revealed them to infants. There's two kinds of people here, and God interacts with these two different kinds of people in very different ways. There's the wise and intelligent, and from them, God hides these things. And then there's infants, and to the infants, God reveals these things. Well, what are these things? I mean, that's the starting question. What is it that God is revealing to some people and hiding from other people? Well, it has to do with Jesus' identity. Who is Jesus and how can he save you? Those things God is hiding from the wise and intelligent. Well, what's God have against the wise and intelligent so that he won't reveal to them who Jesus is and how Jesus can save them? Well, here's what's going on. It's not that they're really wise. They're wise in their own eyes. And here's a principle for you. It's letter A on your sheets. If you try to approach God while pridefully clinging to your own wisdom, he's going to hide the truth from you. If you try to approach God while pridefully clinging to your own thoughts, your own wisdom, your own ways, God is going to hide his truth from you. The wise and intelligent that Jesus is thinking of here specifically are the Jewish leaders who rejected Jesus. See, they thought they knew better than Jesus. We know what the Messiah is going to be like. We know what the Messiah is going to be like, and he's not going to be like you, Jesus. Our religion's good enough, Jesus, without you having to come in here and saying, but I say to you, no, we're doing fine. We don't need to listen to you. You're not the Son of God that can't be. See, God doesn't have anything against learning, but that's great, learning. If these men would have been open to the truth and if they would have compared the Old Testament scriptures to what Jesus was doing, they would have seen who Jesus was. God isn't opposed to learning, he's opposed to pride. So these wise and intelligent in their own eyes, men have rejected Jesus, they rejected what he said. And so now the Father is giving them over to their own foolishness. It's like they have willfully shut their eyes to the truth, and now the Father is going to hold their eyes closed. It's a lot like what happened in Romans chapter 1. The people in Romans chapter 1, professing to be wise, they became fools. And therefore, God gave them over to more and more confusion and more sin and more depravity. Here's what's happening here in Capernaum 2. The people are saying, no, Jesus, you're not the right kind of Messiah and we're not going to believe in you. We're not going to turn from our sins. And so the Lord says, okay, you're so wise and intelligent. I'm going to hide it from you now. You're going to come to Jesus. You have to come with the right attitude. So if you try to approach God while pridefully clinging to your own wisdom, he's going to hide the truth from you. But, letter B on your sheets, if you approach God with the simple, complete dependence of a small child, if you approach God with the simple, complete dependence of a small child, then he will reveal to you what you need to know him, to be saved. Look at Matthew 11:25 again. Jesus says, where at that time Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for this way was well-pleasing in your sight. God reveals the truth about Jesus and salvation to those who come to him like infants. An infant is the opposite of a mature, self-confident adult. Right? An infant is totally dependent upon her parents to meet all of her needs. If you take an infant and you leave her by herself, she dies. She just can't do things on her own. God's not interested in the big shots of the world. God's interested in the nobodies. To those who are determined to earn their way to God by their own efforts and their own wisdom and their own pride, God's not going to help them. But to those who will come to God like babies, like toddlers, and just depend on him. Those will come to God and freely admit, God, I am not good enough for you. And if there's any hope for me, it's got to all be you. Those who come with that attitude as infants, those God is going to reveal to them what they need to know. Verse 26, Jesus says, yes, Father, for this way was well-pleasing in your sight. Why? Why does God hide the truth from the proud and reveal it to the dependent. It's for this reason. It's because God will not share His glory with another. The Lord is not okay with the idea of someone in His eternal kingdom bragging about all the great things they did to earn their way in and all this, how smart they were to be able to figure out the way in here. God is not going to have that happen. Rather, every person in His kingdom will avow, I had nothing to do with this. I was a sinner and Jesus pursued me and Jesus died for me. And when I came to Him, Jesus forgave all my sins and here I am. It's Jesus. Those are the people that God wants in His kingdom. Matthew 23:12, Jesus will say, whoever exalts himself shall be humbled, and whoever humbles himself shall be exalted. So today we want to listen to what Jesus says about coming to Him. And I'm going to call you at the end, go to Him from where you are, right? But for now you need to know this. Those who go to Jesus for rest must go with the right attitude of dependence rather than pride. Maybe you're here this morning, you don't know God, and this is the reason. This is the reason. God's because you've been proud, and God isn't going to let you come to Him with your head held high. That's not how it works. Come to Him dependently, like a child. Or maybe as a Christian, you're here this morning, and you don't know rest in your life right now. You're not living in rest. Even though Jesus offers that to you, well, why is it? Is it maybe the same thing? You know Jesus, and yet now with your life, what have you been doing? Have you been doing it yourself? I'm going to be able to solve all these problems in my own strength and my own wisdom, or have you been coming to Jesus and saying, Jesus, I got to depend on You. I can't do it without You. Three things Jesus says about coming to Him. First, those who come to Jesus for rest must come with the right attitude. Second is this, the only way to know God is to have Jesus reveal God to you. The only way for a person to know God is to have Jesus reveal God to them. Look at Matthew 11, verse 27. All things have been handed over to Me by My Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son. And anyone to whom the Son wills to reveal Him. Jesus says, all things have been handed over to Me by My Father. Well, what things? What things has the Father given to the Son? Well, here's part of it. Letter A on your sheets is this. The Father has given Jesus all authority, including the authority to save who He wants to save and judge who He chooses to judge. What has the Father handed over to the Son? Well, He's given Him all authority, but it includes this authority that Jesus can save who He wants to save and judge who He wants to judge. The Father has given this over to the Son. Look here at John chapter 3, verse 35. This statement that the Father's given all things to Me, we find this in several places in the Gospel. Another one of them is here in John 3, 35. Jesus says, the Father loves the Son and has given all things into His hand. Then look at where He goes from there. Okay, so the Son has been given all things. Then He explains like this. He who believes in the Son has eternal life. But he who does not obey the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. You see, it's up to Jesus to determine. So if anyone is going to be saved, it's because the Son saves them. If anyone is going to be condemned, it's going to be because Jesus condemns them. He's been given authority over the destinies of people, right? It's all about Jesus, and the Father has granted this to Him. Verse 27, Jesus explains further how this works. Letter B on your sheets there. Jesus explains, He says, well, Jesus is the only one who really knows the Father. Jesus is the only one who really knows the Father. So the only way for you to know the Father is for Jesus to reveal the Father to you. Did you catch that? So who knows the Father, really? It's only Jesus. And so if you're going to know the Father, there's only one way for that to happen. It's for Jesus, who knows Him, to reveal that to you. Look, it's in verse 27. Matthew 11, 27. Jesus says, halfway through the verse, no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son. The idea is only God can really know God, right? So other than the Trinity, there's this truth that's locked up in them. And that we can't achieve it. The only they know it. And then Jesus says, no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wills to reveal him. So we say, well, why is Jesus the way, the truth, and the life? The answer is, only Jesus has the necessary information for a person to be saved. And so the only way for you to be saved is for Jesus to give you that truth. And it's more than just like facts, right? When Jesus says he has to reveal the Father to you for you to know God, it's more than just facts. There's facts, and then there's an opening of our hearts to receive them. And we can't get there without Jesus working to give us the truth that we need and also to open our eyes to it. Look here at Acts 16 for an example. So there's a woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple fabrics, a worshiper of God. She was listening to Paul as he preached the gospel about Jesus. And the Lord opened her heart to respond to the things spoken by Paul. This is the only way we're going to know God, is if we hear the truth about Jesus and Jesus reveals it to us so we can understand it and accept it. It's important to know, if you're going to come to the Father for rest, if you're going to come to Jesus for rest, you have to know Jesus is your only hope. We have to be convinced of this and believe this. Just Jesus is the only way. And this is what Jesus declares. I saw an interview, this is from a couple of years ago this week. It was interesting to me that there was a man that was nominated for a high government position so that he had to be interviewed by the Senate. And the man's name is Russell Vought, or Vought, I'm not sure how to say it. But there he is, there's Russell Vought. So he's applying for a high-level government job. It's like a budget and management position. One of the senators who's interviewing Russell Vought has been digging through his past, and Russell Vought graduated from Wheaton, which is a Christian school, and he had written an article defending Wheaton, because Wheaton won't hire Muslim professors, it's a Christian school. And so Russell Vought had written an article, and in his article, he had written this. He had said, Muslims do not know God because they have rejected Jesus Christ, his son, and they stand condemned. Well, the senator doing the interview was offended by these words. And so in the Senate, he says to Russell, he says, in my view, the statement made by Mr. Vought is indefensible, it's hateful, it's Islamophobic, it's an insult to over a billion Muslims throughout the world. Now, Mr. Vought wanted to clarify. So he said this there to answer. He said, well, all individuals are made in the image of God and are worthy of dignity and respect, regardless of their religious beliefs. So Muslims are worthy of dignity and respect. But he didn't back away from what he had written, that they don't know God because they've rejected Jesus and they stand condemned. And it was just, he's being badgered here in front of Congress. He wouldn't back down. He just kept saying, well, I'm a Christian. And he's right, that is what Christians believe, because that's what Christ said, that he's the only way for someone to be saved. Can a Muslim know God without accepting Jesus? According to Jesus, no. Can an Orthodox Jew or a Buddhist or an adherent of Hinduism know God without accepting Jesus? No. Because to know God, I have to get my information straight from Jesus. So things we need to know about coming to Jesus, if you're going to go to him for rest, you have to go with the right attitude. You have to know that to know God, you have to have Jesus reveal it to you. And maybe we're reading to this point, you might think, well, boy, Jesus has to reveal it. Jesus has been given authority over my destiny. And so do I not have a choice in the matter? Is it just like I sit here and I hope that Jesus decides to reveal it to me? Or is there anything for me to do? And well, yes, there is. In fact, there's going to be this invitation that here in verse 28 that Jesus gives to all. So if you're thinking, well, I don't have any say in this, well, that is just not what the Bible teaches. What the Bible teaches is God invites you to come to him. Jesus invites you to come to him, no matter who you are. Jesus is willing to receive anyone. Look at verse 28. Here's this invitation. Come to me. Jesus says, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. This word come, it's a normal everyday word. Just come here. Right? And so Jesus is just saying to everybody who is weary and tired and exhausted, Jesus says to them, come here to me. I say, well, how does that work? Jesus isn't in a place. I can't just drive there and see him. Well, look here at John 6:35. In another place, Jesus makes it clear that coming to him is the same thing as believing in him. Coming to Jesus is something we do in our hearts. But it's a real interaction that you have to have with Jesus. You have to come to him. Look here. Jesus said to them, this is John 6:35. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall not thirst. So coming to Jesus is believing in Jesus. So here's the third thing that Jesus says to us about coming to him. He's going to tell us what it's like. Even before he asked, even as he's asking us to come, Jesus is going to say, okay, now listen, if you want to come to me with your heart, if you want to believe in me, here's what it's going to be like. Here's what you can expect. And he gives us several things. Four, as I broke it down here. If you will go to Jesus, he will give you rest. If you will go to Jesus, he will give you rest. Right? That's what he says in verse 28. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Say, well, what kind of rest? Jesus, what kind of rest will you give me? And I think the answer is, well, what kind of rest do you need? What kind of rest do you need? And that's what Jesus is willing to give to you. Notice Jesus says, all who are weary and heavy laden, come to me and I will give you rest. Jesus is the rest giver. Come, all you are weary. So are you exhausted today? Have you been toiling hard? You just feel like for a long time you've been working and you're just exhausted. You can get exhausted from physical work, but you can also get exhausted from grief or from emotional burdens or fears or worries or guilt, responsibilities. All these things, Jesus says to you, come, I will give you rest, you who are weary. Then he says, come to me, you heavy laden. Has someone put a load upon your back and you just feel like I've been carrying this load and my legs are shaking and I don't know if I can go on and I don't know if I want to go on some days? Some of you are carrying burdens in your families, burdens in your body, burdens of shame, burdens because of things you're hiding. Turn over to Matthew 23. Jesus talks about another kind of burden that people carry, and this is a real thing. Maybe some of you are under this burden today. Go to Matthew chapter 23, verse 4, and Jesus probably has this in mind when he speaks of the burdens that he wants to give rest from. Matthew 23, verse 4. Here Jesus is talking to the religious leaders of his day. We're talking about the religious leaders of his day. Matthew 23, 4. They tie up heavy burdens and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves are unwilling to move them with so much as a finger. Do you know what? Every other religion in the world, outside of biblical Christianity, does nothing but add burdens to people's already heavy lives. Basically, every other religion outside of Jesus says, here, carry this. If you'll carry this for God, it's going to please him. And you'll have a better chance of having his pleasure. Well, if you want to be extra sure, carry this and this. And then probably you can please him. And so people go about and they're, give your money, go to church, follow this list of rules. You've blown it. Pay this penance. Say this prayer to atone for your sin. Here's a burden. Here, carry this. Carry this. And that's how religion was in Jesus' day. And Jesus is saying, this is not what I'm here to do. I'm not here to pile burdens on your shoulders. I'm here to give you rest. Come to me. If you'll go to Jesus, he'll give you rest. Now, I said he's going to give you rest from everything that's heavy that you're carrying, all your toils and your difficulties. If you're carrying a physical difficulty, right? You've got some kind of disease or someone that you love has a weakness and there's burdens with that. It doesn't mean you come to Jesus and he's going to take that away right now. For some of the rest that he promises, right? We might have to wait until the end, right? Right at the end of my life, even those things, those physical difficulties and the burden, he's going to take those things away forever in heaven. Some of that rest that Jesus promises he's going to give us is rest at the end of this life. But that's not the only thing he's talking about. He is talking about the rest of heaven, but We're talking about more than that. Look at verse 29. Right? What's he say here in verse 29 when he repeats this? Oh, go back to Matthew 11. Matthew 11, 29. Jesus repeats this comment about rest. Verse 29, he says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Rest for your soul. You'll find that right away. You come to Jesus today, he'll give you rest for your soul today. The least restful state of being is to be in a relationship that's wrong. Have you experienced that? Would you think that's true? The least restful state of being is to be in a wrong relationship. But a right relationship brings rest. There's no sense of rest like being in a good relationship. If you've never come to Jesus in faith before today, then right now you're in a wrong relationship with God because of your sins. You're in a wrong relationship with God, and you're never going to know rest in your soul until that wrong relationship is righted. The Bible says there is no rest for the wicked. But at the moment that you come to Jesus Christ in faith, the moment that you come to him and say, "Jesus, I'm coming to you, I believe, I'm turning from my sins," at that moment, the Bible says this, Romans 5:1, when you believe, "Therefore, having been justified, declared righteous, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." And listen, if you're at rest with God, if you've got rest there in that relationship, and Jesus will give you that the moment you ask him for it, if you're at rest with God, there can be mass chaos all around you, and you can still know a real rest in the middle of that. Your relationships with other people can still be strained, and you can have difficult things going on in your health. But if you've got rest with God, it gives a peace that's there even through those difficulties. Jesus says if you come to him, he will give you rest. Also, Jesus says if you will go to him, he will give you a yoke to carry. If you'll go to him, he'll give you a yoke to carry. Look at verse 29. "Come to me and I'll give you rest," verse 28. Then verse 29, take my yoke upon you and learn from me." Let me quote Sean O'Donnell here. He writes, after verse 28, "and I will give you rest," perhaps you expected to read something about a vacation destination. "I will give you rest in Hawaii." Or perhaps you expected to read something about a new recliner or a relaxing massage or a sleeping pill. Instead, you find a work order. "Come to me and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you." O'Donnell continues, "Jesus did not say, take my chair or take my mattress." Right? That's equipment for sitting and sleeping. There's no sitting. There's no sleeping. He said, "Take my yoke. You'll be working, walking, moving forward, carrying what I tell you to carry, even your own cross." It's interesting for me this week to think about this yoke. That Jesus says, "Come to me, I'll give you rest, and here's my yoke. Take this up and carry this." I usually think of this when I'm thinking of the yoke. And there's times in the Bible where it's clearly an animal yoke where you're tying animals together. But as I was studying this passage today, actually I think maybe what Jesus has in mind is more this. In ancient times, and they would have been sort of been normal in Jesus' era, it's still normal in Asia. There's yokes for humans they use to help them carry stuff. And I think this may be the picture that Jesus has in mind here when he says, "Okay, come to me, I'm going to give you rest. Now here's my yoke, pick this up and carry it." It's a yoke to help you carry things that Jesus is going to give to you. Jesus is saying to us then, listen, I see you there. I see you burdened and weighed down. I see you with that heavy burden. I want you to come to me, put that down. Instead, carry this. Just carry what I give to you. Carry my yoke. Well, what is that, Jesus? What exactly is it that Jesus wants us to pick up and carry after we come to him? Well, what is Jesus' yoke? Here it is. Jesus will ask you to learn and to live by his teachings. Jesus will ask you to learn and to live by his teachings. Verse 29, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me." Taking the yoke of a Jewish rabbi, it was a phrase they used. It meant, I'm going to submit myself to the teachings of this rabbi. So if you come to Jesus, he has a yoke for you. Jesus is going to You come to him, he's going to say, okay, here's my Bible. I want you to study this and I want you to live by it. Here's the yoke for you to carry. Now, if you come to Jesus, then there's two things that happen, right? So he's saying, come to me and I'll give you rest. If you come to Jesus, he forgives your sins, right? He died on the cross to make this possible. He's taken your punishment. You come to Jesus, he forgives your sins and makes you right with God. And then he says, okay, now here's my yoke. Here's my teachings. This is the way for you. Carry this. You say, well, wait a minute. I thought this was supposed to be about freeing me from burdens. I thought you said everybody else gives me burdens and Jesus is going to make it light. What's the deal? Jesus has given me something to carry? Well, he is. Let's keep going. Okay, if you go to him, he's going to give you rest. He's going to give you a yoke to carry, which means live by his teachings. And then thirdly, Jesus will be gentle with you. He'll be gentle with you, using his authority to bless you, not oppress you. He's going to be gentle with you, using his authority to bless you, not oppress you. Look at verse 29. Matthew 11, 29. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. What's Jesus like as a master? If you come to him, that's what's happening. You're coming to him and saying, Jesus, you're my master now and I'm your servant. That's how this works. So is Jesus then, as your master, is he going to load that yoke down and laugh at you while you sweat to try to carry this the rest of your life? No, that's not what Jesus is like. Jesus says, listen, I'm gentle. That word gentle, it means mild, considerate, unassuming. Gentleness is the opposite of being harsh and arrogant and oppressive. A gentle person is one who doesn't throw around his own weight, but in whatever situation he finds himself, he seeks to bless others. Jesus says, I'm gentle. And he says, I'm humble. This word humble, it's amazing that Jesus is using this word of himself. Because the word humble, it just means like low to the ground and not rising very far. It means lowly. So wait, Jesus is going to be my master, but he's lowly? How does that work? Well, how it works, you just watch Jesus' life and you see how this is, right? This Jesus is the master who stripped down and washed his disciples' feet. This Jesus is the master who was stripped and beaten and mocked and crucified so that all of his disciples could be forgiven. This Jesus is the Son of God in all authority, and yet he is, you come to him and you'll find him to be gentle and you'll find him to be humble toward you. Jesus is giving you this yoke of his teaching, not for his own good. He's giving you this yoke for your good. If you'll go to him, you're going to find he's gentle with you. He uses his authority not to oppress you, but to bless you. And then fourthly, letter D, you go to him, you're going to find that living by his teachings makes your life better, not harder. If you go to him, you'll find that living by his teachings makes your life better, not harder. Look at verse 30. Jesus says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. People think that taking up Jesus' yoke is going to be like this. Like, oh, I don't want to follow Jesus. He's going to make my life heavy and hard, right? He's going to load down my life. That's not what Jesus is saying. When he says, come to me, I'm going to give you rest. My yoke is easy. My burden's light. He's not out to make your life hard. That's not what he's like. Actually, Jesus' yoke is designed to make your load lighter. One Christian expressed it this way. They said, his yoke is my song. Jesus says his yoke is easy. It's kind. It's pleasant. Following him, his teachings. Jesus was a carpenter. And so as a carpenter, he would have made yokes. This would have been one of the things that they did when he was growing up. And Jesus would know when you're making a yoke for an animal or for a person, when you're making the yoke, you need to make it to curve it, to fit the animal, to fit the one that's going to carry it. Jesus knew how to make yokes comfortable. And that's what he says. My yoke is easy. The word, it's like kind. My yoke is kind. My burden is light. So these are the things that Jesus says about coming to him. He says those who come to him must come with the right attitude. Jesus says if you're going to know God, you have to have Jesus reveal God to you. And so this is your only hope, is you have to come to Jesus. And then Jesus tells us what to expect. He says, if you come to me, I'm going to give you rest. I'm going to give you a yoke to carry, my teachings. But I'm going to be gentle with you. And I'm going to make your life better, not harder. And so basically where it leaves us is just to evaluate Jesus' claims and say, well, is it, do I believe him? Do I think Jesus is telling me the truth? Will I go to him? Maybe as you listen today, you realize, you know what, I've never really come to Jesus personally. I knew all about him. I've known about him since I was a kid. I've always been a Christian, but this is personal. Maybe you realize you've never humbled yourself before him and set down your burdens and taken up his yoke. Maybe that's, you're seeing what I need for rest. I need to come to Jesus. Let me invite you today. Today you can come to Jesus. It's just a heart thing. You just, in your heart where you sit, if you just cry out to Jesus and say, Jesus, I'm coming to you. Will you forgive me? Give me that yoke. Oh, I've been a Christian for a long time, since I was a little kid. Maybe talk to the person next to you that's a Christian. Jesus' yoke is good. It's better. Never once has Jesus asked me to do something and I followed through and I thought, boy, I wish I didn't do that. No. He is a gentle and humble master. Or maybe you're a Christian and you remember what it's like to walk in his rest. You remember what it's like to carry his yoke and the joy of that. But you've gone back to carrying your own burdens yourself and living your own way and not paying attention to his yoke. And maybe today Jesus is saying, hey, child, come back to me. Right? I'll give you rest. If he did it before, can he do it again? Yes, he can. I just want to be quiet for a minute and give you a chance to talk to the Lord. And what I'm urging you to do is to go to Jesus. If I could take you there, I would, but I can't. You gotta do it. All right. So as we listen to this song, I invite you, go to Jesus, whether it be for the first time or again, and then I'll come back and close after the song. Jesus says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Oh, Father, thank you. Thank you for sending your Son. Jesus, thank you for this invitation that you extend to us. This invitation with the promise of rest. And we know you're reliable, and I've seen you to be true to that in my life and the lives of so many around me. Lord, you are a God who welcomes sinners to yourself and then gives us rest. Shows us the way to go, the good path to walk in. Lord, I pray that we'd each respond to you, that we come to you, instead of going through life on our own strength and pride. I pray these things in Jesus' name, amen.